Good Morning Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Last night, on the order of the President of the United States and in support of a request from the Department of Justice, as the President said, the United States military conducted an apprehension mission in Caracas, Venezuela, to bring to justice two indicted persons, Nicolas and Cecilia Maduro.
There you have Dan Kane, or as his nickname, Raisin, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, giving the briefing on Saturday as we found out that the United States had invaded Venezuela with a whole bunch of stuff and basically plucked Nicolas Maduro out of his house with his wife. Got to get the wife involved, you know. Got to get them both. But brought him back to the United States for trial related to narco-terrorism, among other things, as you've heard Fox Top of the Hour explaining. But Dan Kane gave us a good rundown of what we did and why it was so significant.
This was an audacious operation that only the United States could do. It required the utmost of precision and integration within our joint force.
Yeah, with over 100 different aircraft, everything from in the air, you know, anti-radar elements, the Growlers, Prowlers were involved, I think. You had Raptors involved, F-35, Lightning II's involved, E-2 Hawkeyes, all kinds of stuff involved in this. And if any one piece, he said, had failed, the whole mission would not have worked properly. I suspect that's not quite right. I mean, my suspicion is that we had a lot of redundancy built in case, you know, you don't want to make a massive operation like this depend on one plane getting shot down. But, you know, nothing did, so that's good news.
Failure of one component of this well-oiled machine would have endangered the entire mission. And failure is never an option for America's joint force.
Yeah, a component's different than a piece of material, I should say. Anyway, so how did they get there?
After months of work by our intelligence teammates to find Maduro and understand how he moved, where he lived, where he traveled, what he ate, what he wore, what were his pets, in early December, our force was set pending a series of aligned events. Key was choosing the right day to minimize the potential for civilian harm and maximize the element of surprise and minimize the harm to the indicted personnel. So, as the president said, they could be brought to justice.
And by the way, that's not a small thing. Don't miss that. Making sure that we did it in such a way that civilians were low likelihood of being harmed, that, you know, Venezuelans were less likely to be harmed, that American service members were less likely to be harmed, and that Maduro himself was able to be captured alive. You know, not all of these kinds of missions end in the person being captured alive. You may recall a certain terrorist who had something to do with the 9/11 attacks didn't make it out alive. In a relatively, you know, sort of philosophically similar situation where we invaded a foreign nation without telling them, Pakistan, and, you know, SEAL Team 6 went in there and to kill or capture. Well, turned out kill Osama bin Laden, right? So this is certainly not the first time that we have invaded a foreign sovereign nation in order to accomplish something like this. It's, I would think, not even the last time. The legality of it, that's a very interesting question. But again, I want to give Dan Kane a little bit of time to tell the story because it's a very interesting story.
At 10:46 p.m. Eastern time last night, the president ordered the United States military to move forward with this mission. He said to us, and we appreciate it, Mr. President, good luck and Godspeed. And those words were transmitted to the entire joint force.
20 different bases involved. I actually wonder if Hurlburt was involved. I wouldn't think Eglin was probably involved. But certainly it's entirely possible that Hurlburt was involved. I mean, you know, Air Force Special Operations Command is housed there. So, you know, if you've got gunships in the air, if you've got Ospreys, if you've got some helicopters. Again, it sounds like it was more Delta than it was AFSOC, but still, you know, these are questions I suppose at some point in the future we might know. We might never know. A lot of stuff that happens at Hurlburt you never find out about. But 100 different aircraft, 20 different bases.
As the night began, the helicopters took off with the extraction force, which included law enforcement officers, and began their flight into Venezuela at 100 feet above the water. As they approached Venezuelan shores, the United States began layering different effects provided by SpaceCom, CyberCom, and other members of the interagency to create a pathway. overhead, those forces were protected from aircraft, were protected by aircraft from the United States Marines, the United States Navy, the United States Air Force, and the Air National Guard.
Everybody was involved. The helicopters are coming in slow and low as they do. Meanwhile, air assets above, jets are getting operational, and a couple propeller as well. The E-2 is a propeller, and they're doing their job.
The force included F-22s, F-35s, F-18s, EA-18s, E-2s, B-1 bombers, and other support aircraft, as well as numerous remotely piloted drones.
B-1 bombers. That's an interesting element of all this. Dismantled their air defenses, caught them completely by surprise. And then what was the actual rundown of events? We'll come back to that in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you. But don't forget, Palafox Street is closed from Garden Street all the way to Main Street as they do that reimagined Palafox project. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Chairman of the Joint Chiefs, Dan Kane.
As the helicopter force ingressed towards the objective at low level, we arrived at Maduro's compound at 1:01 a.m. Eastern Standard Time or 2:01 a.m. Caracas local time. And the apprehension force descended into Maduro's compound and moved with speed, precision, and discipline towards their objective and isolated the area to ensure the safety and security of the ground force while apprehending the indicted persons.
So we go in, 2 o'clock, 2:01 local time with the helicopters.
On arrival into the target area, the helicopters came under fire, and they replied with that fire with overwhelming force in self-defense. One of our aircraft was hit but remained flyable, and as the president said earlier today, all of our aircraft came home, and that aircraft remained flyable during the rest of the mission.
The other aircraft remained overhead, providing support and, you know, making sure that the folks on the ground were going to be safe.
Maduro and his wife, both indicted, gave up and were taken into custody by the Department of Justice, assisted by our incredible U.S. military with professionalism and precision, with no loss of U.S. life.
And then they prepared to leave with a lot of fighting on the way out or on the way
after
to the planes.
After securing
jets,
indicted persons, the force began to prep for departure. Helicopters were called in to exfiltrate the extraction force, while fighter aircraft and remotely piloted aircraft provided overhead coverage and suppressive fire. There were multiple self-defense engagements as the force began to withdraw out of Venezuela,
which is pretty normal. You would expect that.
The force successfully exfiltrated and returned to their afloat launch bases, and the force was over the water at 3:29 a.m. Eastern Standard Time with indicted persons on board. And both Maduro and his wife were embarked aboard the USS Uajima.
So 4:29 Caracas time, so that's 2 hours and 28 minutes total time over Venezuelan airspace for this entire thing.
What we've witnessed today is a powerful demonstration of America's joint force. We think, we develop, we train, we rehearse, we debrief, we rehearse again and again, not to get it right, but to ensure that we cannot get it wrong.
And also, as is going to come up in the conversation about the significance of all this, but as Trump said, as I think Rubio at least hinted at, the goal here is to be able to strike anywhere, anytime, against anybody, and remind the world that that's possible.
Our jobs are to integrate combat power so when the order comes, we can deliver overwhelming force at the time and the place of our choosing against any foe anywhere in the world.
So that's the operation itself. The most obvious natural question that I think everybody should ask. I see mostly critics of the Trump administration asking this loudly and saying the answer is obvious. I see defenders of the Trump administration saying it's a stupid question to ask, and that bothers me in both directions. But is it legal? That is the right question to ask. Regardless of what the answer is, the right question to ask is it legal for us to go and pluck a leader of a foreign country out of their sovereign territory without congressional or United Nations prior approval? And, you know, here's what's going to frustrate you, okay? If you've been listening to the show for any long period of time, you know that I will tell you if Trump does wrong. I will tell you if Trump does right. I think this is a complicated question. I don't think that it's so obvious. generally, you are not allowed to go into a foreign country without their permission. I mean, that's literally in the UN Charter. You know, you're not supposed to do that. But there are times when we have done it. There are times when it's lawful or at least justified to do. But the, you know, the actual charter of the UN, literally in Section 2, Element 4, actually says that we're not supposed to do all. It says all members shall refrain in their international relations from the threat or use of force against the territorial integrity or political independence of any state or in any other manner inconsistent with the purposes of the United Nations. So you would think, well, you can't do that. Well, we've done it before with Osama bin Laden. We did it with Iran, you know, in the strike against their nuclear facilities. You know, we've done it with Manuel Noriega in Panama. You know, we've done this before. It's not the first time. We didn't go to the Security Council. We didn't go to Congress. That was actually one of the questions that came up repeatedly. Marco Rubio said, yeah, there are times when you have to notify Congress in advance. There are times when you only have to notify them after the fact. This was an after the fact plus Congress leaks. And that would have completely ruined this operation if we had told them in advance. Meanwhile, Chuck Schumer says it's completely illegal for him to do this without permission from Congress. I don't think it is completely illegal to do this without permission from Congress. And here's why. Because this is not an extended war. Part of what makes this complicated to assess is we went in for 2.5 hours. We killed some people. We knocked out some capabilities, and we captured a guy who was not even the legitimate leader of that country. They did not have free and fair elections. They had corrupt and illegal elections in which he claimed victory, but everybody knows he is not the rightfully elected leader. So he's been indicted on narco-terrorism charges. He's not the rightful leader of the country. And we went to pluck him out to take him for trial in New York and then withdrew. See, if we'd stayed, if we were like launching an actual invasion of Venezuela and we were putting, you know, massive forces on the ground in order to overtake the country, I think you have a different kind of analysis for that. For this, you know, I mean, Bill Barr, back when he was the Deputy Attorney General for the Department of Justice, actually wrote the memo that justified the plucking of Noriega out. Now, you know, I guess he was not the actual president at the time. He was just leading the country. You know, Maduro is the actual president, but he's not really because it's corruption in the election. And, you know, it's complicated. You have other complicated issues like the oil fields. You know, yes, the Venezuelans nationalized the oil, you know, decades ago. But, you know, that doesn't mean the American companies owned the oil in the ground. They did not. They had their leases invalidated. They've got a $10 million judgment outstanding against Venezuela that has not been paid off. Okay, can we go into Venezuela and establish the justification for the oil companies going back in and investing in rebuilding and making money in order to secure their $10 billion judgment? Well, I mean, it's not easy to say yes. And it's not easy to say, I mean, it's easier to say no, probably, because no, you can't go into foreign countries. But then again, there is this judgment against them. You know, Marco Rubio actually made kind of a very interesting point when he was giving his slice of this. He says, wait a minute. So we are allowed to put a $50 million bounty on the head of Nicolas Maduro and reward people who capture him and bring him to us or kill him or whatever, but we can't just go do it ourselves.
Nicolas Maduro was indicted in 2020 in the United States. He is not the legitimate president of Venezuela. That's not just us saying it. The first Trump administration, the Biden administration, the second Trump administration, none of those three recognize him. He's not recognized by the European Union and multiple countries around the world. He is a fugitive of American justice with a $50 million reward, which I guess we saved $50 million. And
we should make sure.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. But
don't let anybody claim it. Nobody deserves it but us.
But the problem is, if you want to say, and I actually do want to say, that I think it's lawful to take him. First of all, I'm glad that he's gone. I think the world's a better place without Nicolas Maduro in charge of Venezuela. Second, the others are more likely to do good by their citizens. They're more likely to listen to U.S. demands. I think Venezuela is in a better shape today than it was yesterday by a lot. That said, okay, going in there and taking the oil, whether by force or by threat of force, it's at this point clearly going to be threat of force. It might become actual force. Can't really justify that. Not under any shape of international law that I'm aware of. So, you know, who's running the country? Well, we claim to be, but we're not really. They said they were in the press conference, but it doesn't look like we actually are. You know, the vice president's actually in charge. She's been sworn in as the president. So can we run the country? No. Or is it going to be a protectorate state? Is it going to be, you know, like, what does that even mean? Well, we don't know. We don't have answers to those questions. Do they need to have elections? Yes, soon. Well, not right away. Can't do it right away, but could it be within a month or two? Maybe. Then are they running them? It kind of, a lot of this is going to depend on what happens. If Venezuela winds up with free and open elections and making choices on their own behalf, and 5 or 10 years from now they're making more oil and American companies are helping them and the citizens there are prospering and they have a democratic republic or anything like it compared to the communist regime now, that's, you know, probably going to lead to the collapse of Cuba in cascade, and maybe Cuba becomes also a free country. I mean, you start to see possibilities here that look extremely good. Was it legal, every element of it? Well, there's questions. Do those questions matter? They absolutely do. The ends do not always justify the means. You have to look at the means themselves. So, again, you know, I know it's kind of frustrating to try to have to think about this in a nuanced way, but there's a lot of stuff at play in this conversation. And I'll say that again and again this morning, because the Trump sycophants, who Trump can never do wrong, are not willing to ask these questions. They think it's just liberals raising them. And the anti-Trump haters, they think it's stupid to think this might have been legal or justifiable because, you know, they hate Trump. Well, you know, there's more to it than that. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. The NAS front gate traffic is backed up past the Gulf Beach Highway, so be aware of that. Also, Palafox Street is closed as they start their construction project. No accidents to report to you. Other than that, we're looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
When it comes to precious metals, there's only one place to consider, and that's Emerald Coast Coins. They're the local leader in dealing with coins and jewelry, gold, silver, diamonds, and sterling silver. Emerald Coast Coins buys, sells, and trades. And for the past 15 years, customers from all over the Gulf Coast have trusted Emerald Coast Coins for the best estimates and prices in town. Stop in today. Emerald Coast Coins on Creighton Road.
Honey, that flu keeping you up? Did you take NyQuil Intense Flu?
Nah, I got this. Okay, I don't got this.
Yeah, you need NyQuil Intense Flu.
Undo your flu with NyQuil Intense Flu. NyQuil Intense Flu provides powerful relief of your flu symptoms so you can sleep.
You do got this.
NyQuil Intense Flu. The nighttime sniffling, aching, fever, best sleep with the flu, medicine. Use as directed, keep out of reach of children.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknight 7 to 10, before WEAR-TV News, on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Barbarella! Barbarella!
So, apparently Palafox is almost closed. I mean, I would not recommend you go and drive. But apparently the company that has the barricades was supposed to show up at 5 and we're still waiting on them. So a little slow in the arrival of the barricades, which, yeah, I mean, these are the things that can happen. Although it's not a great auspicious start to a project that's supposed to all be done like clockwork efficiently, get done in 6 months or a little bit less than that. But, you know, give it time. It's obviously going to. Going to start today, and it's going to end in hopefully May. Let's see. David is out this week, or out one more day, and we got Steve is in for him with our headline. Steve?
Well, Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro is now on his way for his first court appearance in New York City following his capture by the U.S. military over the weekend. President Trump said the U.S. will effectively run the South American country until such time as power can be successfully transferred. Federal prosecutors are charging Maduro, his wife, and their adult son with drug trafficking. Police activity was reported overnight at Vice President J.D. Vance's home in Cincinnati. Video from the scene shows windows apparently damaged in what may have been an act of vandalism or an attempted break-in. Local police say a suspect is in custody. A donkey in Georgia has broken a Guinness World Record for the longest ears. Guinness officials say last month they measured the ears of a restaurant rescue donkey in Crawford County named Hope. And they basically, if you're keeping up, they're nearly 16 inches long, making him the world's longest ears. And but my question is, who comes up with these categories at Guinness?
I don't know, but anything. Yeah, anything goes, right. Basically.
Basically, that's what's happening.
All right, Steve, thanks so much for the update. Oh, yeah, the who's in control of Venezuela question is a very interesting one, because in the press conference, Trump said, we are. And then Marco Rubio kind of undid that and said, well, they are, and we're figuring it all out. And then on Air Force One, basically, you know, overnight or yesterday, Trump said, no, it's us, which is kind of complicated.
Don't ask me who's in charge, because I'll give you an answer and it'll be very controversial.
What does that mean?
We're in charge. So we're going to have the big oil companies go in.
And by the way, that's part of this that makes me cringe, too, is the no, we did a really good thing. Oh, yeah, and the oil companies. Like he's channeling Dick Cheney or something, you know? I mean, right? It is such a mixed bag of motives, of legal justification. It's complicated.
Fox News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. Deposed Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro going to be in court in New York at noon Eastern time today to answer to narco-terrorism and drug charges.
Set to face charges that he ran a multi-billion dollar drug operation with the Sinaloa and Zeta cartels and others that flooded our country with hundreds of tons of cocaine over two decades. His wife, Celia, who was also captured and is in U.S. custody, faces similar charges.
Fox's Eric Shawn outside the courthouse in Manhattan. Now, later today, War Secretary Pete Hegseth and Secretary of State Marco Rubio can answer questions about the weekend operation that led to Maduro's capture.
They went inside Venezuela, bombed civilian as well as military places, and it's a violation of the law to do what they did without getting the authorization of Congress.
That's Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer on ABC's This Week. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 6:31 right now, 52 degrees and partly cloudy. I'm Steve Taylor in for David Wayne on News Radio 92.3. The long-anticipated reimagined Palafox officially kicked off earlier this morning. The $10 million renovation will transform Palafox into two phases. The first phase is going to run from Garden Street to Main Street and should wrap up in May, with the entire project done by November. This is the first major update in 26 years to address the stormwater infrastructure and ADA accessibility. Before the crews moved in, though, the business owners had to clear their outdoor furniture from the sidewalks, and folks had to move their cars off the street last night, because 6 a.m. on this morning was the deadline for moving your cars, otherwise they will be towed. Well, looks like Pensacon is getting ready for the biggest year yet. Yes, the popular pop culture convention just announced two guests from Stranger Things are coming to Pensacola. Cara Buono, and Randy Havens will be here in February, and Pensacon marketing director Julio Diaz, he told Channel 3...
So we're really excited to have those two actors with us to celebrate that and to celebrate the end of the series. You know, this is a series that 5 seasons, almost 10 years, that all of us have been loving. We've been big fans of Stranger Things from the start. We had a couple of guests during season one, including Randy, and we're glad to be able to tie it all up with bringing some back for season 5.
Now, here's the interesting timing. The announcement just came an hour before the show's series finale and aired on Netflix. Marketing director Julio Diaz says the announcement sparked a huge jump in ticket sales. The event, by the way, in case you're planning on going, is February the 20th through the 22nd at the Bay Center. Protesters in Pensacola rallied against the U.S. actions in Venezuela amid the U.S. demonstrations across the country. They took place in Pensacola, joining thousands across the country. Unlike other protests, this one was at the intersection of Palafox and Garden Streets instead of the graffiti bridge. Congressman Jimmy Patronis expressed his support for the president's recent actions concerning Venezuela. He said he didn't hear about the operation until Saturday morning.
So, you know, I totally support the actions that the president, the decisions that he's had to make, because ultimately, you know, I'm a dad of two sons, and, you know, drugs are not the family's friend when it comes to developing in young lives. And if this is what it takes in order to stop this stuff from destroying our future generations of Americans, you know, the president has my full support.
Right now, let's check the forecast from Channel 3.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first warning weather update. We are going to be looking at some lovely weather for this Monday. Temperatures around 67 degrees for your high. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 58 degrees. As you head into Tuesday, mostly cloudy skies, high near 72. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 62 degrees. Heading into Wednesday, still keeping that nice forecast around with partly sunny skies, high near 73. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 62. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thanks, Brooke. Right now, let's check in with John Pickens for traffic on the fives.
That's right. Brought to you by Knox Pest Control. Their family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, you can visit knoxpest.com. Knox knocks them out. Still rolling accident-free right now, but if you are headed to the main gate of NAS Pensacola, traffic is still backed up all the way past Gulf Beach Highway. And also, don't forget, Palafox Street is now officially closed. They've got the barricades up there now. We just saw them, so we're good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks, John. Right now, 52 degrees in Pensacola, 51 in Gulf Breeze, and 47 right now in Milton at 634. The next news is at 7, breaking news anytime. I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Dom Savino with Your Money Now. Tech firms continue to ramp up spending on AI infrastructure. That means business is booming at a major NVIDIA partner. Electronics manufacturer Foxconn posted a 22% surge in revenue in the final quarter of 2025 as it continues to churn out the servers that hold AI chips in data centers. Foxconn also assembles Apple's iPhone. Another milestone for blockbuster sci-fi franchise Avatar. Its latest installment, Avatar Fire and Ash, it's topped $1 billion at the worldwide box office. That's after just 3 weeks of release with no signs of slowing down. Fire and Ash is now one of the 10 fastest films to reach the $1 billion threshold globally. On Wall Street, futures are slightly higher as investors closely watch the situation in Venezuela 2 days after the U.S. captured the country's leader on drug terrorism charges. The biggest beneficiary so far, major oil companies, hoping they'll tap into the world's largest crude oil reserves. That's Your Money Now.
The average checking account pays less than a tenth of a percent. PenAir Credit Union's high-yield checking? 5.05% APY. That's more than most savings accounts, and 70 times more than any old checking account. Make every deposit count. Learn more at penair.org/checking. Federally insured by NCUA. PenAir's high-yield checking account pays up to 5.05% annual percentage yield with e-statements and a monthly ACH deposit of $250 or more.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
Billy, your gas light's on. We need to stop and fill up.
No way, Jen. Gas around here is too expensive. We can make it a little further.
Billy, listen to your big sister. You don't need to drive all over searching for the lowest gas prices. Do what I do and use Upside.
Upside?
Do you live under a rock, Billy? Upside is the hottest cash back app out there. It's free to download, and you get real cash back for every gallon of gas you buy. I use it all the time, and I've already made around $200.
You can make that kind of cash back just for buying the gas you have to buy anyway?
Yes, I'm looking at the Upside app now, and you can get up to a $5 cashback bonus on your first tank.
Okay, I'm stopping to download Upside and fill up my tank. Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code SUPPLY to get up to a $5 cashback bonus on your first tank. You can cash out anytime, right to your bank, to PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code SUPPLY to get up to a $5 cashback bonus on your first tank. That's code SUPPLY for up to a $5 cashback bonus.
Are you ready for a triple dose of wit, insight, and laughter? Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show from 11 to 2. Your daily dose of engaging conversation and hilarious banter. Join Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins as they tackle the biggest news stories, pop culture moments, and everything in between. They'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud from start to finish. Don't miss a minute of the fun. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show, 11 till 2 on News Radio Pensacola.
I thought love was only true in fairy tales.
not for me. Our love was out to get me. That's the way it seemed. Disappointment haunted all my dreams. Then I saw her face. Now I'm a believer.
But I want to be clear about one thing. Nicolas Maduro had multiple opportunities to avoid this. He was provided multiple very, very, very generous offers and chose instead to act like a wild man, chose instead to play around. And the result is what we saw tonight.
Yeah, apprehending Maduro, again, there are so many slices of justification here, and each one has its own analysis. Apprehending Maduro, I think, legal. Invading a country, as in like a follow-on invasion, not legal. If we put, you know, if we actually launch and land and invade, we certainly don't, that Congress needs to pre-approve that. The UN, the Security Council needs to be involved in that. That's not justified. But this was in and out, basically a, you know, quick strike, high value target extraction. I don't have any real strong objections to that alone. It's the talk about all the other stuff that concerns me. And frankly, you also have, I think you have fair parallel questions that you can ask. You know, somebody texted in, well, you know, with Trump's saber rattling about Greenland and, you know, what is it, the Stephen Miller's wife posting a picture of Greenland with an American flag over it. You know, what if the, you know, hypothetically, what if the folks in Denmark, which, you know, Greenland is owned by Denmark. What if the folks in Denmark decided that President Trump constituted an imminent threat to their sovereignty and decided to insert a special operations Danes, you know, Ranger Danes or I feel like there's a stranger danger joke in there somehow, but I'm not catching it right off anyway. And captured the president of our country and took him back to there for, you know, would you support that? Because you always have to be willing to support the principle that underlies the action, not just that you like the action because it's done by your country, right? That's the principle of law, which, but the principle of the rule of law is exactly that. And when we didn't know a lot early on in all of this, I will tell you that my sentiment about the thing was very negative, was very critical, was very much, this is illegal. But always take a breath, be willing to learn, be willing to listen, be willing to think through the implications. And I lost a lot of that kind of thinking along the way as I started thinking about things like, well, we didn't just invade the country, not long term. We went in, we removed, and we removed a person. And we've done that many times in the past in ways that I thought were completely justified, even without asking Congress for the permission to do it.
The other message here is the following. You have a guy, like many people around the world, they like to play games. You have a guy who decides he's going to invite Iran into his country, is going to, you know, do the confiscation of American oil companies, is going to flood our country with gang members, is going to take Americans prisoner and try to hold them for hostage and trade them like he was able to do with the Biden administration. Basically likes to play games all this time and thinks nothing's going to happen. And I hope what people now understand is that we have a president. The 47th president of the United States is not a game player. When he tells you that he's going to do something, when he tells you he's going to address a problem, he means it. He actions it.
See, this is actually one of the parts that I think Trump's critics don't usually recognize. Most of the time, I'm not sure you can say all the time, but, especially during Trump 45, what he said he was going to do, he then did, or at least tried to do. You typically can't go back and say, oh, you never said you're going to do that, you know, right? And so he's been doing that. Now, this is kind of one of those, well, did he say that we were going to be involved in, you know, taking out dictators and nation building? No, he was very much against that. In fact, he's been critical of that. That's why the folks who are out there saying this was not just illegal, but it was a violation of everything Trump campaigned on. No, I see their point. But there is another point to be made, and like the whole why does this make sense, what is it trying to accomplish, has to do with things like the Monroe Doctrine and the Roosevelt Corollary and now the Trump Corollary or the Donroe Doctrine, as he calls it. And there's a lot of conversation around that. You know, what would be the appropriate action for the United States in our hemisphere, which we have always considered to be our domain, our backyard, and then well, I guess I'm going to kind of talk my way to having to talk about it. The Monroe Doctrine was always the idea that Europe is Europe and Americas are the Americas, and we're going to stay out of their mess and they're going to stay out of our mess, We're not going to invalidate any of their colonies, but they're not going to be able to establish new colonies. If they do try to establish new colonies here, or you might say in the modern version, overt influence, then we're going to take that as an attack on us, as a direct action against us. And, you know, we're going to hold sway over the American two continents. Okay, well, you know, following up on that, what is Trump concerned about? Well, he doesn't want failed states, because failed states produce migration waves and refugees. And if you have problem states, then you don't want them to be sending their people here or anywhere else. So if instead we can reform or rehabilitate, or at least, you know, topple and then hope for the best in a country like Venezuela, maybe in the long run, we don't have millions of people fleeing Venezuela and going to other nations, including ours, which is a security threat and an economic and a cultural threat to them and to us. So you start to see where the thinking is, that if you can restabilize some of these threat agents like Venezuela, possibly Cuba, if you can make the American or Latin American, South American, Central American nations be strong and prosperous again, then they're not as ripe for illicit influence from, say, China, from, say, Iran, from, say, North Korea or Russia. They are more prone to independence and prosperity, and we will base, without having to actually be an American empire, we can be an America that guarantees the security and prosperity of the countries around, and also therefore doesn't have all of this wave of mass migration, and, you know, we won't have to deport everybody because they'll be happy in their home nations. You start to see a picture of American foreign policy in this hemisphere that starts to make some sense anyway. You don't have to agree with it. You don't have to think that it's the right approach, but you start to see what, and Rubio is, I mean, this is his area. If ever there were a reason to have voted for Rubio for president, and I did in the primaries, it was his foreign policy, especially his Latin, Central, and South American foreign policy.
I can tell you, I've watched this process now for 14, 15 years, been around it. Everybody talks, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. When I get there, we're going to do this, we're going to take. This is a president of action. Like, I don't understand yet how they haven't figured this out. And now, if you don't know, now you know. Because this is the way it's going to play out. And I think people need to understand that this is not a president that just talks and does letters and press conferences. And, you know, if he says he's serious about something, he means it. And this is something that was a direct threat to the national interest of the United States. And the president addressed it.
Again, with cocaine, with Venezuelan gangs, although I'm skeptical about the significance of that. They keep talking about that, and I'm not sure that it's nearly as significant as they make out. It's not that it was nothing. But I think of this more in terms of, you know, the kind of failed state nature of Venezuela and what might become of South America in that, and has become of South America, and again with the migration waves. But more on this in just a second, because a lot to talk about here. And I don't hear a lot of people saying a lot of this, and I wanted to give you some time. By the way, always feel free to react, 437-1620. Text me your thoughts, whatever they are about this. Love it, hate it. Have questions, whatever. We'll talk about it. This is why we're here for you. It's a local radio station, and there are local things happening, but this is obviously the big, important news of the day. Because, I mean, think long term. You know, what if we actually do have to get involved, or do make the choice to get involved in some kind of land war in Venezuela or anywhere in Central or South America? I mean, that matters a lot for the country, and certainly for us here in Northwest Florida. Anyway, John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John, did I just do traffic?
No.
Okay, sorry. Go ahead. Yeah.
The front and back gates of NAS Pensacola are backed up, so just be aware of that. No accidents to report to you. And also, Palo Fox Street is officially closed now, so please find an alternate route. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. All right, back to the kind of, you know, Marco Rubio's comments, Secretary of State Rubio's comments on this on Saturday. And then, you know, there's more. Again, we'll kind of just talking it through this morning, and feel free to text me, 437-1620. If you want my short version of this, and I'm trying to repeat because I know people aren't in the car for like 3 hours. We've been talking about this all morning, and we will all morning. But the sort of people who for whom Trump can do no wrong think there's not even a question here, and, oh, these stupid liberals. No. If you believe in republicanism, then you should believe in the rule of law, and you'd ask these questions. You're only afraid to ask the questions if you think you don't have good answers for them. And I think the administration has some good answers and some not good answers. Same thing for the Trump haters, you know, the 10 socialists, literally the 10 socialists who were out protesting on Palo Fox. I know they're all members of the People's Party for Socialism and Liberation here, and they go speak at events, right? I mean, there might have been 13, okay? But, I mean, who cares? Of course. The socialists are upset that we arrested a communist. Oh, interesting. Wow, how about that, okay? So is that even news? I don't consider it. But, okay, back to the point. Marco Rubio, the justification for doing this, I think, is good. It's some of the other stuff that goes along with it, like the oil, like the who's running the country, or like the potential other places that we're saying this might lead to.
There's a president of peace, by the way. I told you what I just said earlier. This guy had multiple opportunities to find his way somewhere else and figure out another. He could have been living somewhere else right now, very happy, but instead he wanted to play big boy. And so now, you know, he's got other sets of problems on his hands.
So this is clearly a warning to everybody. I mean, they mentioned that. This is a warning to Iran. This is a warning to Colombia. This is a warning to Cuba. This is a, I mean, potentially, I suppose, you know, a warning to Mexico. Although, you know, it'd be very different action if we had to do something with regards to Mexico. But still, it's a warning. Now, is that justify the thing? No. You can't go topple a dictator and capture him and bring him back home as a message. But if you're justified in taking him, and it also happens to serve as a message, that's fine. That's a benefit from illegal action, right? That's not doing something for that reason. And that kind of came up in the conversation. Trump was specifically asked about this with Colombia.
President, Colombian President Gustavo Petro, a couple weeks ago, he said he's got to watch his ass. And today he said he's not concerned about anything happening to him in the aftermath of this operation. So just what your message is
about
that?
Well, he has cocaine mills. He has factories where he makes cocaine. And yeah, I think I stick by my first statement. He's making cocaine. They're sending it into the United States. So he does have to watch his ass.
So there's that. There's the issue with Cuba that now is not going to be able to get their oil that props them up. Plus, as Marco Rubio repeatedly pointed out over the weekend, the security forces in Venezuela, the ones that specifically protect Maduro, are in fact Cubans. You know, so Venezuela had largely become a Cuban-influenced state at the very least. And, well, here, this is what he said about it on Saturday.
Is there a message here for Cuba and Díaz-Canel?
Well, Cuba's an interesting case. Cuba is, you know, not doing very well right now. That system has not been a very good one for Cuba. The people there have suffered for many, many years. And I think Cuba is going to be something we'll end up talking about because Cuba is a failing nation right now, very badly failing nation. And we want to help the people. It's very similar in the sense that we want to help the people in Cuba, but we want to also help the people that were forced out of Cuba and living in this country. Do you want to say something about that, Marco, please?
Well, I mean, I just gave you a statement a few minutes ago about, when the president speaks, you should take him seriously. So suffice it to say, you know, Cuba is a disaster. It's run by incompetent, senile men, and in some cases, not senile, but incompetent nonetheless. It has no economy. It's in total collapse. And by the way, you know, they were, you know, all the guards that helped protect Maduro, this is well known, their whole spy agency, all that were full of Cubans. I mean, they basically, it's amazing. This poor island took over Venezuela in some cases. One of the biggest problems that Venezuelans have is they have to declare independence from Cuba. They tried to basically colonize it from a security standpoint. So, yeah, look, if I lived in Havana and I was in the government, I'd be concerned, at least a little bit.
Are you cutting off the oil flow to Cuba from Venezuela?
Well, the president already announced a week ago that anything that's sanctioned, it's sanctioned oil, it's not going to be allowed to get there. So that's an
example. So, I mean, you kind of get the picture about what's going on with regards to Cuba, of course, with their oil. I'll be honest. If I had to predict the future here, I don't know what's going to happen in Venezuela. I'm frankly a little optimistic and maybe silly of me, but I am naively optimistic. I see a future in which Cuba, the government of Cuba, collapses. And maybe that becomes something like a democratic free country again. And I will definitely not cry over that. Just like I certainly cannot cry about, you know, Nicolas Maduro being no longer in charge of Venezuela. Means matter. Legality matters. I don't want us getting involved in an actual invasion. In fact, part of what's going to be interesting to watch over time here is how much the threat of what happened in Venezuela and the fear of American military capabilities will serve as a discouragement to bad action, either around the world or domestically. We certainly cannot get involved in, I mean, one or two land wars. Nation building is historically a very fraught enterprise. But, you know, if we can scare people real good, that carries value. That's the deterrent effect. That's the discouragement effect. Let's see, 437-1620. Somebody says, I do agree with the principle that other nations, if justified and willing, can execute or at least attempt to execute what we did in Venezuela. That's going to... Oh, and somebody else says, what about Taiwan? No, absolutely. If America is justified, again, the principle's got to run for everybody under similar circumstances. If America is justified in having dominion, whether actively or simply through instructions and fear or help and, you know, bilateral agreements or whatever, if we are going to have dominion over Central and South America in general as our region, how do you turn around and tell China that they can't have that same kind of influence in their region? And if we can go into Venezuela and just take a dude, what can they do with regard to the outlaws and, you know, rebels of Taiwan? Well, in principle, if one, then both, right? Or something like that. And that's the problem of engaging this kind of behavior, is we tend to set a precedent that others are able to do similar things. But if we hadn't gone in, would that have somehow in any way been seen by China as a reason not to? I mean, is China waiting for an exemplar from us as permission to do what they were going to try to do anyway within the next couple of years, we all assume, and we're hoping to deter it, not through principle, but by force? Well, you know, it's pretty thin to argue that, gosh, if only Trump hadn't, you know, sent forces into Caracas to capture their president, then maybe China would have never seen the justification for going to Taiwan. Come on, be more honest than that. That's China's going to go or not go, not on the basis of this, but on the basis of their own basic evaluation of whether they can get away with it. Okay. Where you do run into issues is at the UN. You know, are we going to be able to stand up at the UN and say, you can't do that if we did something similar? Or even if it's not similar, does it look similar enough? Are the optics bad? Okay, my theme this morning, John, it's complicated. Is it complicated?
No, I mean, you're explaining it really well, but it's a lot.
There's a lot to think about
here. There's a lot to unpack.
Foreign policy is complicated, man. And Americans have done a really poor job of the last 40 years of teaching our citizenry about foreign politics, about, you know, foreign affairs. Until this weekend, did you know where Venezuela was? Be honest.
I did. Yeah.
I know, not you. I mean,
but,
you know.
Okay. I was like.
Anyway, John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. I-10, I-110 are looking good. Palafox Street is now closed, so just be aware of that between Garden and Main. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Come on, start. Looking for reliable auto repairs without breaking the bank?
Well, yeah.
At Affordable Automotive, we keep your car and your budget running smooth.
That's more like it.
Hi, I'm Kenny with Affordable Automotive in Gulf Breeze. My father started this business over 30 years ago, and we continue to proudly serve the Gulf Coast with trusted local service. Whether you're a first-time or returning customer, we inspect each vehicle like it's our own. From oil changes, engine replacements, and diagnostics, our certified techs do it right the first time. Fast, honest, and fair, just like auto service should be. So if your car needs care, bring it to Affordable Automotive in Gulf Breeze, a mile west of the Gulf Breeze Zoo. Visit us at AffordableAutomotiveGulfBreeze.com and schedule your appointment today. That's AffordableAutomotiveGulfBreeze.com. Affordable Automotive, quality you can afford.
Greater Pensacola's leaders are in the tallest buildings and smallest shops, and they come together here to drive growth in innovation, to bridge industries, to share fresh ideas, and to understand how they can play a part in Greater Pensacola's success. The Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. We believe local businesses are the cornerstone of a great community.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Sunday afternoon, the American Red Cross is offering adult and pediatric CPR classes. Upon completion, participants receive a 2-year certification meeting national requirements. See redcross.org for more. Each January, the Quayside Art Gallery showcases artists who joined the gallery in the previous year. Check out the local talent all month long at the gallery on Zaragoza Street. See quaysidegallery.com for more info. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
Stream us online at newsradio923.com or download the News Radio Pensacola app.
The man's enlarged my mind.
He's a poet, warrior in the classic sense.
The goal of this show is always to give you a better perspective and more information than you otherwise would have. It's not necessarily to tell you what you want to hear.
Makes my brain hurt, too.
Or to make it simple when it can't be made simple. Right? That's a lie. You know, some people view arguing or reasoning as, you know, pick your answer and then always say whatever is on that side, like a lawyer. No, that's not what you're going to get from me. I'm going to try to give you as much information so that you learn something, no matter what your perspective you brought with you. Let's see. Steve Taylor's in the newsroom with a headline or two for us. Steve?
Well, Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro is on his way to make his first court appearance in New York City today following his capture by the U.S. military forces over the weekend. Yeah, President Trump says the U.S. will effectively run the South American country until such time as the power can be successfully transferred. And that's what's happening.
All right, very good. We'll continue talking about Venezuela, the significance, the implications, the Monroe Doctrine, and just thinking for maybe a lot of people the first time ever about Central and South America and what these things are to us as Americans.